Get ready for the Girls on Games podcast, your weekly dose of news, reviews, and everything video games. Always served with a good helping of hype and just a pinch of salt. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I am the host of this show. This is episode number 227, and we got lots of news to talk about, because there's just so much. There's so much, and we've been playing so many games, like, seriously. But before we get into that, gonna introduce you, and stutter at the same time, but introduce you to the friendly voices around this digital table. And it's a two-woman show. The bosses have the reins. Catherine, how you doing?
I'm good.
It's just you and me.
My voice comes back soon. I'm still still a bit raspy.
Yeah, me too, hence the stuttering, but it's just the two of us, so they can't complain, right?
Yeah,
we're holding down the fort. Pardon?
Yeah. Ali has family visiting, and Simon is under the weather, so
yeah.
Stepping in.
Yeah, you know, everybody goes back to school, the temperature kind of drops, though. Yesterday in Toronto it was 30 degrees, so I don't know, global warming is real.
Really?
So, yeah, and lots of rain. So yeah, it's like the perfect storm for getting sick, right?
Yeah.
So, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right. Before we get into a little bit of crew check-in with Catherine, because I want to know what she was up to this week, I want to remind you guys, if you enjoy this show, you can subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Podbean, all the places where the good podcasts are found. Additionally, if you'd like to wear some Girls on Game merchandise on your body, you can do so by going to designbyhumans.com/shop/girlsongames. We also have that lovely Ko-fi if you want to give us a little tip, buy us a Starbucks. You can do that by going to ko-fi.com/girlsongames. I know, guys, I promised you we were going to do the challenge update this week and announce the October challenge, but with half the team gone, it didn't really make sense. Yeah. So we'll do that next week. And then this month's, I guess you could say, challenge. Hey, if it's going to trail on a little bit, that's okay. I mean, the idea is to try and play some stuff that we don't usually play, or make it difficult for each other to play some games, which, and see what hilarity ensues. So we'll get there. So keep playing your educational games, and we'll talk about that next week. Catherine, what have you been up to this week, girl?
I mean, the weather's been shit, so I've been staying inside mostly. It's been raining buckets, honestly, on and off. And yesterday it was crazy. We had this thunderstorm that lasted for 2 hours.
Damn.
With lightning and thunder, the whole shebang.
I'm always nervous when those things happen because of all the electronics in my house. Everything's on a surge protector, but I don't know about anybody else. I don't know about you. I go in, and as soon as I see thunder and lightning happen, I turn everything down and then plug it for the wall because I trust nothing. Do you do that?
No. No. Now that we have surge protector, my power bar has a surge protector. My power supply on my computer has a surge protector. All the consoles have them, so...
I'm anal.
I just hope that I don't lose power midway without saving my game, basically.
The weekend I was at a family wedding out in Peterborough. Hadn't been out there in a little while, so that was kind of nice. Got a little bit of partying. It's always funny, though, trying to explain to people what I do. I don't know if you have that complication when people are like, "So, what's your job? What do you do?"
Yeah, I get a lot of the, "So you sell the video games directly to people." I'm like, no.
Explaining my day job and this moonlighting gig is interesting. They're like, "You play video games?" Always fun. But then they realize, oh, now I have someone I can talk to and understands everything. So then we get into great, chats about what everybody's playing, which is always, always fun. Until the adults are like, this Fortnite thing?
Fork knife.
All right, Catherine, let's talk about the games we've been playing this week. Sounds like you got a little bit deeper into Devil May Cry 5.
I actually finished it.
Really? That sounds like it was pretty fast.
It's not a very long game.
Okay.
And I think it's a game that you definitely need to do a new game plus to get all the content and to achieve your goals.
Okay. How many hours do you think you played?
Oh, shit. I don't know. I would say max 40.
Okay.
I mean, when I Googled it, it said it was a 20 to 30 hour game for your initial playthrough. So
okay.
I can't have been, it didn't feel like more than that.
Okay.
It's definitely a high octane action game. It's a good, I don't know if I can call it a brawler or something. You basically have a bunch of enemies coming at you and you need to learn moves like in a fighting game, and you got to chain combos and it was my first Devil May Cry. So I'm sorry if I sound a bit inexperienced or naive regarding this game, but it's the first one that really grabbed my attention. And then I was like, I want to play this. Probably because I've played the new God of War before.
Mm-hmm.
That gave me the taste for that kind of like combo-ish.
So you're ready to upgrade now to Bloodborne?
I tried Bloodborne. I couldn't do it. But it's not the same thing.
I know. I'm just joking.
But it was very fun. I do have a big gripe with it.
What is it?
And I realize they're probably doing this because of the New Game Plus, but they throw too many skills and upgradables at you and weapons. Just for example, you get Dante. I'm sorry if I'm going to spoil the game, but it's been out for a while. It's on Game Pass. Get to it. You get Dante about halfway through the game. And they're like, okay, this is the third character you play, by the way. You start with Nero, and then you get V, and then you get Dante.
Okay.
So they're like, so Dante has a sword, and Dante has two guns. Mm-hmm. And Dante can also do hand-to-hand combat. So already you have all of these options for weapons and combat styles. Plus, he has different styles. So you can go for a gunner style, or a swordsman style, or a royal guard style, or a trickster style, and each give you special ability. Like, trickster is the special ability, or evasion. If you switch to gunman, you'll get special abilities with your guns.
Mm-hmm.
And then all that shit is upgradable. And as you play with Dante, they're like, cool. You've done one, two mission with Dante.
Mm-hmm.
He finds this fucking motorcycle. It's a weapon. You get a new weapon. Okay, you get a bit further in the story. He gets a hat. And he can throw around.
The hat's a weapon.
You go deeper into the story. They're still giving you, like, upgrading your shit. And, like, I got new weapons and new skills and shit I had to learn. All the way to, like, just before the final boss.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was. So I never felt I could really master a character.
Okay.
And the final boss is, you start with Dante and then you switch to Nero.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, you know, I'm not going to spoil the story, but there's a reason why you switch to Nero, and they upgrade his abilities. And you kind of like, it's the hardest fight of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to readjust a bit what you were doing with Nero. And if you hoarded your red orbs to upgrade Dante more because you wanted to play with Dante, and you kind of like, neglected Nero, and you get to the final fight, and you're like, well, fuck me. I also upgraded V way more than the other two characters because he was my favorite.
Yeah.
Turns out he's nowhere when you do the final boss, and I'm just like, well, shit. So I don't know if that's usually what Devil May Cry games are like. For me, I found it confusing. I was happy that between characters, a lot of the button combination to make your moves were the same.
Oh, that's good.
Like forward Y, back to forward Y, things like that. That did help. But maybe I should have been on activated the super easy mode where you don't have to learn the combos as much. Because it was a challenge. It was a lot.
Now,
especially while taking a two, three month break to play Fire Emblem.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how many games, these like long tail games, continue to teach things up until almost the very end. I had a little bit of a hiatus from Persona because I was traveling and stuff, and picked that back up over the course of the week. And, you know, like, it's not like I forgot it. I still have like 70 hours in this thing, so I know what I'm doing. But as you very well know, you know, the game continuously teaches you things for a long time, and it's a really long game. So, like, I know I've got at least 3 palaces, if not 4 palaces left. Trying to think now, I just went through Tabas. Yeah, there's the 7 deadly sins, right?
It's the 7 deadly sins. And yeah, we keep throwing at you new characters.
New mechanics. Like, I feel like there's certain parts, and, like, I've gone and read up on things to really understand some of the mechanics. And I really do think, like you said, it's designed for New Game Plus, which is cool. And, like, you played Fire Emblem, and that seemed like, additionally, because of the way the story's constructed, it's designed for New Game Plus or Round 2 gameplay, the second playthrough. But do you think, like, I think in Persona 5, I'm going to get additional story elements, and that'll be the reason why I'd want to do the second round of gameplay, just like you did with Fire Emblem. Do you think Devil May Cry has enough in it story-wise to make you want to play a second time?
I mean, Persona and Devil May Cry, it's not the story that will drive your New Game Plus. I mean, Persona, maybe if you want to do different, make different decision and go a different route.
Well, I know that there's confidants that, like, haven't really had a chance to deal with yet, and I don't think I would get into any of their history or their story now because I'm just too far, right? Like, I don't think there's enough gameplay time knowing what, I kind of have an idea that there's more characters coming, so I just won't have enough time to get through all of them. Plus, you have to make sure you play it right, get all your, you know, deal with them properly, upgrade them properly, you know, have the right personas, so you get the bonus points when you interact with them and all that kind of stuff. So I have a feeling there's certain parts of the story I'm just not going to get yet.
Exactly. I think, like, the New Game Plus in DMC 5 and Persona 5 is about completion. As in Fire Emblem, it was like, if you want to see the whole story, like, if you want all the information as to who is Byleth, what happened, why did people make the decisions they're making, who is everybody and what's their intention, you need to play all game, all four stories, even if they're like alternate storyline. That's how you get the full story. So if you're invested in that story, you want to play Fire Emblem again.
Okay.
But there's no, like, there's no like, there's no achievements and trophies and things like that on Nintendo. So if you're a completionist, it's just for you. I did it just because I loved the story and I wanted more of that game. As in for DMC5, I think it's really about, you know, skill and completion and completing and being able to go to the most ludicrous, hardest difficulty because you get enough shit unlocked to be able to do it. They introduced also, I think it's called the Blood Palace, which is something they brought back for all games that they patched in after release. I noticed it after I was done with the game and I was like, I'm ready to move on to something else. So I kind of like, that's why I didn't want to play, like, originally, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I've been talking about Devil May Cry 5 and waiting for a sale because I knew I would just play through it quickly and not go back to it. And I did end up buying it on sale instead of being the full $80 Canadian. I think I got it for $50. And then 2 months later, it was added to, like, Game Pass and shit. And I was like, fuck. I mean, it was worth the money. It's really good fun.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to drop the whole, like, because it's like, it's almost $100 after tax for it.
Yeah. Game. And we were talking about that about a bit last week when I was talking about Zelda, you know, Link's Awakening being, you know, essentially, once taxes were through, 90-something bucks. You know, like, it's not cheap. Games are not cheap. Out of curiosity, I went and looked at the Metacritic. For PC, Devil May Cry 5 has an 89, 87 on Xbox One. Like, it reviewed well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not my type of game. It's not my core type of game. Like, I don't mind dropping 90 bucks on Assassin's Creed or Legend of Zelda or Fire Emblem because I know I'm going to love them, and if I hate them, then, you know, that's on me because they're my favorite types of games. I've never played a Devil May Cry 5. I had never played God of War before. You know, I didn't want to take those chances and drop full price for something that I'll play 2 hours and be like, eh.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
I understand that.
I've been really hands in with Link's Awakening. Like, I think I caught up to you and Allie if you guys haven't finished it yet.
The only reason I haven't finished it is because I'm now hunting down all the shells and all the hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I probably would have finished it before last weekend, like pretty much Friday. I would have finished it, except that I did go away for this, you know, family wedding to Peterborough. And like, I brought my Switch with me, but I find in those scenarios, like, I can't really just sit and play a game. Plus, I was like helping out with some stuff and things, and, you know, like, also the dog went with me, and they have a little wiener dog named Johnson. Yes, I know. Wiener dog named Johnson. He's the cutest. And he and Bowie get along really well, but, you know, in the beginning, they're like just at each other. So, mm-hmm. you know, trying to make sure that they don't, you know, you got to be careful with wiener dog too, and black lab, because my black lab, he doesn't really know his own strength at all. So, you know, gotta be careful. So, yeah, but I probably would have finished it, but I'm milking it. I'm milking it.
I gotta say, I think I have 2 instruments left.
Okay.
I just finished the whole, like, line of quests of, like, you find something, you give it to somebody, they give you an item, and you give that person.
The trading sequence?
Yeah, I finished that last night, and it's been crazy. Like, I know originally I never finish Link's Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
In my memory, I had stopped after, I think, the 4th dungeon.
Mm-hmm. But you are now!
Yeah. I passed that point. I know I passed that point because...
Oh, wait, there's 8, right? 7? Yeah. 8.
I don't even there's remember 8, anymore. I think. Okay. I just finished the 6th, and it looks like there's 2 more instruments. Yeah,
okay.
But I thought I had gotten to that 4th dungeon and never finished it. But I'm getting flashbacks of...
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you from beginning to end by memory how Link's Awakening goes, and like the puzzles and all the... things you have to do and all the areas you explore and in which order. But
yeah,
I was playing like the second, is it the 2nd dungeon where you need the dog to have access to the swamp?
Yes, with Bow Wow, the chain chomp.
See, I remember that dungeon. I remember doing that. Once I got in the dungeon, I was like, I have no idea what this all of this shit is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't an easy playthrough. Honestly, like, I had to get back into that mindset of the type of puzzles that you'd get in classic Zeldas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. And it's so nostalgic, but it's just like, it's almost like a fever dream. Like, I thought I've never gotten to that point in the game. And then you get to the point where you escort the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I did that. I remember doing that. Fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, it's weird. And sometimes I enter an area and I'm like, oh yeah, there's a chest over there. And it's there. And
yeah, it's weird too, I find, because of not just like that we played this game before, but also we played it, it was so long ago, it was in black and white, there are slight modifications now to make it better. You know, it's not that long since we last played a Zelda game, being, you know, Breath of the Wild, but there were certain mechanics and Zelda tropes that were not in Breath of the Wild that are in this game that were almost like perfected in this game. The concept of a dungeon with puzzles in it, like the dungeon 7 that you're about to go to, where it's actually like, you know, I think it's the 2nd worst dungeon next to the water temple. Like, yeah. There's lots of lovely, lovely walkthroughs online. You try your best, but you may need one. I got real stuck at one point and was like, F this, and looked it up. Because, yeah, it was one of those ones where it's like, it's not just you need a key to open this door to remember, blah, 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 blah. It's also like a spatial puzzle as well, right? Oh, to think about
I'm
how
so
the building.
With those.
Yeah. The pillars. Just think about the pillars.
Okay, I'll try to remember that. Because
remember
I get
the
lost.
Pillars. That's the key. But yeah,
I get lost in those dungeons so easily.
I love the dungeons, though. Oh, but it's so weird because you get there and you're like, this music is somewhat familiar. This setting is somewhat familiar. These characters, I remember this. And I know they've added stuff, like the little pedestal characters from the
claw game. Toys that you get from the claw machine.
Yeah, and like the map and stuff and how the shells work and all that kind of stuff. Like, you sit there and you're like, some stuff feels new and some stuff doesn't, and it's trippy and it plays with your mind, and yet it's almost like getting back on a bicycle because we understand how a Zelda works. It's just such an interesting experience that you don't get very often, because usually when you jump into a new game, it's that. It's a new game. Yeah. And you don't know a lot of the systems. And you don't know where things are. And it takes you a really long time just to learn the muscle memory of stuff. But with that game, Link's Awakening, it was like instant.
Yeah. No, it was like riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
It was so great. And like, for context, I know a lot of people played the Game Boy Color port. Was it a Game Boy Color on the Advance?
I want to say yes, but I think there was a colored version of it. It's been a long time.
I got that game when it came out.
There was, like, I know what it is.
98 or 97?
DS. There was a DS version.
There was
a DS version? That was like colored and had some modifications. DX, I think it was called. Link's Awakening DX. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Someone will fact check me on
that later. Yeah. So some of the changes were made in that to make the game more modern. And then additionally, we got more stuff.
Holy shit. It came out in 93.
I know.
So if I was in sixth grade when I played that shit.
That's why it feels like a fever dream.
Yeah, I played that shit in like 95, 96, man.
Speaking of fever dream, remember last week how I said I was like super sick because I picked up that thing, bug on the airplane? So I made it through my workday on that Wednesday and made it to podcast. And I don't know if it's because of the cold meds that I had taken or if it was just that my cold was like, yeah, you powered through today because of mid-year review and because of podcasts. Well, you're going to suffer tonight and tomorrow morning. I had a crazy fever dream Thursday morning where it went full zombie horde mode, like in my dream.
Like you were in
like I was in
Dead Rising.
That's the perfect analogy. I was in Dead Rising. I was the lead character in Dead Rising. And then I realized I was in my dream because it was early enough in the morning that Mike was up and already gone to work. And, you know, that kind of woke me up a little. And, you know, when you have that weird phase of dreams where you actually start realizing you're in a dream and then you take control of your dream.
Semi-conscious.
Oh, yeah. And I fucking killed it. I went full boss mode on that in my fever dream. And I woke up and I was just like, holy crap. Like, I knew I was in a dream, and I started playing it like a video game.
Wow. That's crazy.
I want to have more like that. Because then they're not scary at that point, right? Because you realize it's a dream, and you're like, I'm just dreaming. Let's just play this out and see where it takes me, right?
Yeah, I've never had that.
I get
scared as shit, and I'm just like, am I dreaming? I need to wake up, and then I wake up.
I have had dreams about video games when I get very into video games, and like, there's certain games that I get in like full obsession mode where like I play the game, but then I spend a lot of my off time not playing, reading, or watching videos about it. Happened with Astroneers, happened with Minecraft, it's happened with Persona, and where I'm just like thinking about it a lot, and like also to the games that have really good music that sticks in your brain that you just can't get out even after you stop playing, and I'll have dreams about those games, like almost like I'm still playing them, but never in the sense that like I am the main character. It's almost like a dream of me continuing my playthrough, not that I'm the lead character in the game. This one I was the lead character.
Mm-hmm. I've had video games like go into my dreams. I don't remember my dreams often, but I've woken up, like I remember when I was playing a lot of I think it was Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up one day with just like the Zelda theme song playing in my head.
Oh, yeah.
So I must have been dreaming about Zelda, or that was the soundtrack to the dream. But I remember one day just like opening my eyes and the song was already playing in my head. And I was just like, what the fuck, man?
Do you, you know the,
what are brains?
You know the winning music from Final Fantasy like 10? Yeah. So that is like a constant like playing in my head when I have like a win at work or something, and I'm just like, I feel like singing it out loud to like my colleagues would be like, you're fucking nuts. But I'm like, I get a win and I'm like,
we used to sing that song when we played D&D and we would win an encounter, like the Final Fantasy VII version. Which was, it's the winning game and it's the winning theme song when you finish an encounter in Final Fantasy X, but it was the winning song when you finished a chocobo race in Final Fantasy VII, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. It's like that theme song and then it kind of drops and plays that other music afterwards when it like shows you like all the stat upgrades and all that kind of stuff, the experience points that you get, and I just remember it vividly, and that must have been another game that I dreamed about because that song is stuck in my head.
And it's like sometimes when I find something in my bag, like I have friends that when they find something they still sing the Zelda, you've opened a chest and found something, like that.
Oh my god, guys, we spend too much time doing this, like honestly, too much time playing games. Is that all you played this week? I mean, that is a fair amount.
Yeah, finished Devil May Cry 5, and then Link's Awakening stole my soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still going through Persona 5. It's a slow burn right now. Yeah, so close to finishing Link's Awakening. It's one of those ones, I don't know if you've ever encountered this too, even for Cadence of Hyrule, the Crypt of the Necrodancer Zelda one, I've been enjoying these games so much, I don't want them to end, so I almost don't want to finish the final boss. Like, Cadence of Hyrule, I could have easily pwned the boss, and I just didn't yet. Because I don't want
it
to end.
Me and Breath of the Wild.
I don't want it to end, man.
Yeah. I should have finished that game, but it's like, when I got to the end, I was like, ugh. I need to restart it, because I was playing on the Wii U, I need to play on the Switch.
Oh, you totally do. I think I gave the cartridge to Pascal.
I have your cartridge, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, Pascal borrowed it. He played like 2 hours and he forgot.
Permanently borrowed. What else? What else was I playing? I didn't get to play any more of the Mario Kart game on my phone, which is surprising.
The $10 a month is such a turnoff, though.
But I would have, like, I should have even just picked up a little bit of it. I don't know. I didn't at all. But I think I'm going to go after we're finished here and buy Untitled Goose Game, which,
oh yeah,
like, total props to those folks. They are at the top of the Nintendo eShop right now.
Yo, well, I mean, my Twitter feed is still, like, it's slowing down the Fire Emblem memes, and now it's still a lot of Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah, it's lots.
You're
going to
love it, honestly.
I'm stoked.
Mike's going to love it, and it's something, like, if ever you have, like, Mike's niece over or something, like, mm-hmm, you can entertain that kid with that game. Easy.
definitely. Yeah, I'm excited for that. I think it's a good one too, that like would be a good one over the weekend to just play through, because it's not super long, right?
It's like no
3 hours,
like,
or something.
I finished my first playthrough in 3 or 4 hours, and then they give you extra shit so you can do the extra shit, and that's an extra like 2-3 hours. I mean, it's an indie game,
yeah,
it's not a lot of content, but it's very well done.
Yeah,
and it's honestly worth your time and your attention. I can't wait to hear what you think of that game. I think you're just gonna have a blast.
Pretty stoked. All right, I think it's time for us to talk about some news. You ready for that?
Yes.
All right, let's do this. All right, Kat, I know you got a series of news articles to talk about with me. Where do you want to start?
So let's start with what came as a surprise.
Okay.
But in the end, it was Logic Tech. No, but it is Logic. So Logitech acquired Streamlab for what people think is $89 million.
You mean they're not sure?
I mean, the article says Streamlab's for at least $89
million. Okay.
So I'm guessing the exact amount isn't out.
Okay.
But yeah, so this is on gameindustry.biz. It starts off, gaming and PC hardware company Logitech has announced it's acquired live stream software company Streamlabs for approximately $89 million in cash.
Wow.
An additional payout of $29 million may also be made if Streamlabs meets certain established revenue growth targets. So, I mean, Logitech does hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've just acquired a software company, but it It makes sense. I think it's going to help them create better products for streaming.
Yeah. I could totally see them getting into some of the Elgato space, you know, like when it comes to like the like little launcher UI thing, pad thing, yeah. I guess you could call it. I don't know what the actual technical name is. It's almost like a controller for like controlling.
I think they call it like a Stream Deck or something.
Yeah,
Stream Deck. Not streamers. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We need. Where's Allie when you need her?
She's busy.
Too busy for us. But yeah, it. I could see them starting to build some of this stuff. I have a lot of the Logitech gear in my setup. Including the light up speakers and the keyboard. And I gotta say, their gear is really well made, very sleek, very durable. And I can only imagine how good them working with Streamlabs is going to be, because yeah, it just makes sense to have it all interconnected.
Yeah. And I mean, if it helps them make better mics, better headsets, better keyboard, because let's face it. Oh, I think a lot of the shit they make and sell is geared towards streamers and podcasters and things like that. And they've been really good. Like, I'm not a fan of gaming hardware. I've told that. I don't like the gaming tax. I don't like the RGB tax. I also hate, I'm sorry, don't kill me, but I hate mechanical keyboards.
What is wrong with you?
I know.
I actually bought one for work. I bought a Logitech for work. Nice. But yeah, it's... What I like about the Logitech stuff aesthetically compared to some of the other gamer stuff is I hate the stuff that's trying to look like sci-fi. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just want something sleek.
All the
and
angles
cool.
and the points. Why
the
is everything fucking
points?
Pointy?
And, like, how freaking annoying is it when the font in the keyboard is so freaking terrible? Like, I hate looking at Razer's keyboard. Change your freaking fonts.
It is. It's pretty fucking terrible. Mm. But I'm a fan. Like, I'm at my second Logitech MX mouse. I have the second generation. I don't have the new one that just came out. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell. I game with it. I graphic design with it. I podcast with it. I scroll Twitter with it. Great Twitter scroll on the scroll wheel. I mean, other than praising Logitech, we're not sponsored. They don't give us free shit. We buy everything with our own money.
But please holler at us. I mean,
yeah,
I've got the webcam.
We love your shit.
Yeah, you know.
So I think it's good news. I mean, Logitech is a solid company. I don't think they're going to close Streamlabs or ruin it. And I think it's going to solidify Streamlabs also in the market.
Do you think they're coming after Elgato?
They might be. And they're probably trying to get into... as a household name for Twitch and Mixer streamers. I think so, because like with Ninja going to Mixer, I think a lot of people are going to be talking to Microsoft more and hoping to get gear that will work. I've used, in the 5 minutes that I streamed, I think I use Streamlabs. It was very good.
Yeah, it's a great software. It's apparently in a blog post that the Streamlabs team put out. No changes is going to occur to its current software offerings, and the tools will remain free. So I think what's key here is integrations with hardware that Logitech is going to make. That's the key for this stuff. And of course, as we always say, data. You know, getting that information is key to know how people use the tools so that they can, you know, help grow their offering for their R&D to have some actual numbers behind stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, $89 million is nothing to shake a stick at, man. 29 potential, but additional if they meet certain established revenue growth targets.
Yeah. I mean, it's good news. And if, I mean, what we've seen with Microsoft acquiring Beam and making it into, changing it into Mixer, I mean, it's been good for the platform. Microsoft was very respectful of the community and the service and the product. I hope. And I'm confident, but I still hope that Logitech will do the same with Streamlabs, you know?
Yeah. Fingers crossed. I mean, they said nothing's going to change. Hopefully they keep it all the same.
Yep.
Awesome. What else you got?
As an Android fangirl, I am quite happy to see that Microsoft is bringing Google Assistant to the Xbox One.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
So this
available
is
in public beta today. Damn. Damn.
Yeah. I don't know if it's out in Canada, the beta.
We'll have to say.
Yeah. But it's much like the Alexa integration. So I let Google spy on me. I have a Google Home. I have a Chromecast integrated TV. Both my boyfriend and I have Android devices.
Google is your overlord?
Google is my overlord. And so I'm actually excited about that, you know, because I used to have the Kinect. And when I was too lazy to dick around in the menus, I used to shout out my Xbox to open stuff. And I'm happy to know that now I'm going to be able to say, hey, Google, launch Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take a screenshot. Hey, Google, take a screenshot. I'm hoping it's going to be like that level of integration.
I'm really hoping that it'll help me control YouTube, because the YouTube app on the Xbox One kind of sucks. And yeah. I'd like to be able to yell at it.
Yeah, the YouTube app on most consoles is not the best.
Yeah, I actually use my phone and then cast to my Xbox more often than not, or a Chromecast Ultra that I have attached to the back. But I like this idea. This is really cool, and I hope that I can help like with some of the other control functions that you have to launch a game. That'd be really cool.
I'm just getting closer to just shouting, hey, Google, and my entire house answers.
Yeah. Mine already does.
Oh, you're testing a lot of these devices for work.
Oh, man. I was at work yesterday and day before and doing some verification of skills and things for radio stations. My poor team. I'm sitting in my office and I'm going, hey, Google, play Shome 97.7. Hey, Google, play this. And now it responds, hey, Google, stop.
I was going to say, people are not listening to this podcast. Like, if they're listening, like, on speakers and not
headphones. Sorry in advance. Hey, Google, do this. You know what I mean? And I was just yelling over and over. And I was also verifying some other stuff on Siri and getting really mad at it. and it's just funny because they just start laughing at me. And I'm like, because I talk to it. Because I always talk to my computer. I talk to my dog. I'm probably going crazy. But, you know, these things are meant to have conversations with. So when it starts acting wrong, I start to get a little hostile. And I was. So I apologize in advance, Xbox One. I might actually get a little hostile with you, too, if you don't do what I tell you to do.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for this.
Is Cortana still on it? Or do they kind of like kill Cortana?
It's still on it. I still have Cortana on my Windows 10 PC. I don't use it.
Okay. Cool. But... All right. Hopefully it'll be out in full force soon. Yeah, you're probably right. They're probably only testing it in the US. You have to join a Google group to get access to Google's assistant for Xbox One. I wonder what that is. I feel like every time like the voice assistant stuff comes up, I have to learn something new in order to use it.
Oh my. I don't know. I've only used the Google one, to be honest, so I don't know the differences between that, Amazon and
Siri
and all that jazz, and Cortana.
I know them. It's just enough. It's just semantics, really. It's mostly just vocation and what you say. And then just knowing they all do essentially the same thing. They just have different names for stuff and how you call it out. That's all. Okay. A skill versus an action.
I had to get to have Google learn my accent, my super French Canadian accent and my weird English accent.
Do you have it set up so that it knows you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I can talk to it in both languages because I'm lazy and I don't
really
wanna... Yeah, sometimes I feel like speaking out loud in English. Sometimes I feel like speaking out loud in French. It does both.
It recognizes both languages?
Yeah, you can just set it up to have whatever languages.
Oh, crap. I need to do that. Okay, I'm going to set that up.
If you want to test, like, for yourself, like, if it'll recognize, like, if you set it to French, if it'll recognize a phrase like Shome 97.7.
Jouer Rouge FM.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to do that. You're going to have to show me the pro tips on that. Bilingual households. Any other news stories?
Yes, a big one, because it's the war of the subscription services. Woo, feeling spoopy because it's October.
Yeah.
So PlayStation announced that it's slashing its prices for PlayStation Now.
Oh.
And they've added like top games like Grand Theft Auto 5, God of War, and Uncharted 4 Thief's End and Famous Second Son. So
wow.
Yeah.
So that big. It used to be $20 a month?
It used to be like for US, it used to be $20 a month. Or $45 quarterly or $100 for the year.
Yeah.
And now it's almost by half. It's like $10 for a month, $25 quarterly, or $60 for the year.
That's like, a good deal.
Yeah. So Canadian used to be $20 a month. Now it's $13 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And the yearly is a good deal. It's $80.
I wonder if they're going to do bundles with PlayStation Plus. Like, no, I guess Xbox not doing that. Live and the subscription is separate. I don't know. I feel like they should do some.
The Game Pass Ultimate is PC Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass, and Xbox Live One all wrapped into one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good to know. Because I didn't know Xbox Live was tied into that. Good.
If you get the Ultimate, if you just get Game Pass, I don't think it's tied in.
No, I got Ultimate. I signed up with Ultimate as soon as I could.
Same. Mm-hmm. Especially that deal that transformed whatever I had left of Live Gold into Ultimate. It's great.
Yeah.
Great shit. I need to take more advantage of that service way more than I do right now.
Yeah. So the games that you mentioned, God of War, Grand Theft Auto 5, Infamous Second Son, Uncharted 4, Thief's End, are all available as of October 1st as of recording that. That was yesterday. Until January 2nd, 2020. So God only knows if they're going to continue after that. I imagine games like that PlayStation kind of owns, like God of War and Infamous Second Son and Uncharted, will probably be there for a bit. Grand Theft Auto 5, I don't know.
They might have to renegotiate the third parties. Yeah,
right. They said in the PlayStation blog post, we currently have the largest game library of any console game subscription service with more than 800 asterisk games available. Wow, this is streaming though. This is not you downloading the game and having it locally on your PlayStation. This is streaming, so you have to take that into account too. But it means lots of the backlog content. I haven't been in to look at what's available in a very long time. I did try out PlayStation Now once upon a time, but I think I want to go back and look now, because like I didn't finish God of War. I only got like 2 hours in before I handed off to you, and I really think I should play that game.
Yo, I can mail you back the disc.
Okay, send it.
Or I can drop it at Bell Media, and they can send it in internal mail. But no, you should play that one. I enjoyed the fuck out of it. And it's a good one. I saw a tweet, I think it was Jess Corden of Windows Central, saying that PlayStation Now used to suck, like when it comes to streaming, and that once they tried it again, it was better. That they up no stuttering, and it wasn't like what Stadia promises, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Because that's my thing. I don't like streaming because of streaming games anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because my internet connection can be sometimes a bit unstable.
I actually just hardwired my Xbox into, I've got these Bell Wi-Fi pods. It's essentially just like it makes Wi-Fi extenders, but they do have Ethernet ports in the bottom of them. So I just yesterday plugged in the Xbox into one of those in the living room for the Xbox One X, the 4K Xbox. And now I'm finishing up in the computer in the gaming room, and I want to do the same kind of thing over here as well with the pod and plug it in, and then I'll use like a splitter so that I can connect the PlayStation and the other Xbox. And I think that will help stabilize me.
I mean, it won't up your speed because it's taking your Wi-Fi signal and transcoding it back into the Ethernet cable. So whatever limits your Wi-Fi is your limit of speed, even if you're wired. But it will definitely be a bit more stable because I'm finding that the Wi-Fi in the Xbox, if you leave it on sleep mode for too long, it's just kind of like it loses its IP address or deauthenticate, and I always have to reset my network once in a while. And I feel like with those pods, if they're like connected directly to your router,
yeah,
they won't do that shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that all set up. Catherine can see now that I've started. Things are happening. Yeah. I want to set up my PSVR because there's a new Beat Saber stuff and I want to play. Yeah, they announced a Panic at the Disco pack. Additionally, did you see that churches are going to have a song in
They did the title Death song Stranding? Of Death Stranding.
I cannot... when are they touring again? Because, like, seriously. I can't wait to chat with them.
I remember...
We spoke to them at... Where?
This year. My last Oshiaga, I had helped film and record an interview with Churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I... Yeah, I think it was the singer from Churches because I was wearing a tank top that had a giant shark on it,
mm-hmm.
like a Jaws type shark. And mm-hmm. she was like, hey, I love this shirt. I'm like, thanks. It's a shark tank. Get it? And that's how I made a fool of myself to the singer of Churches.
Come on. She must have thought it was hilarious.
She laughed. She was They're like, quirky. Yo, that's good. But, you know, who's the nerd with the camera following the Virgin Radio announcers going, shark tank, get it?
That's us. The nerds. Additionally, with PlayStation, there was a bit of news that dropped the other day that I wanted to talk to you about. You know, when you and I went to E3 in 2013 and we got to see some of the folks that came out on stage, it's always cool to see like the heads of the companies and stuff and kind of see like who the person is speaking for each of these companies, kind of like the figurehead, you know, like that was a big deal when Reggie was at for Nintendo and he since retired. And now we have Doug Bowser on the Xbox front. We got Phil Spencer and, you know, like he's kind of like their figurehead. Sean Layden's been the figurehead for PlayStation, Sony Worldwide Studios for quite a while now. And he actually departed PlayStation the other day. Kind of weird how it came out, because usually in these cases, you know, if it's a retirement or something like that, they kind of have like a big farewell. I mean, I don't really know if maybe because it's Sony's being Japanese, maybe it's a little different, but Nintendo had a pretty big farewell for Reggie. So essentially what happened is a tweet came out from PlayStation saying, from the official PlayStation account, saying, and I'm going to read it verbatim, it's with great emotion that we announce the worldwide studio chairman Sean Layden will be departing SIE. So that stands for Sony Interactive Entertainment. His visionary leadership will be greatly missed. We wish him success in future endeavors and are deeply grateful for his years of service. Thanks for everything, Sean. So what's a little weird about this is that, you know, being press, as we are in dealing with press all the time, in my job, is I get a lot of press releases. And Sony's one of the ones that sends me a press release about pretty well anything that happens, you know? Like, if they do one of those PlayStation Direct-like things, if they do, you know, it's some announcement comes up. The other day when the PlayStation Now info dropped, I got a press release for that. But I got nothing about this one. And nobody else did either. And what the IGN article reads, is talking about all this, talks a little bit about Layden, how he had joined the corporate communications department at Sony in 1987, and then how he kind of moved up. He took over from Jack Tretton, who was the president and CEO of Sony Community Entertainment America in 2014. And it's just really weird that someone would go out like and do that, and that's the only thing they would say. He also hasn't said anything on Twitter himself. So that just seems a little odd for them. Even IGN said they reached out to Sony for more information. Nobody has said anything. And additionally, according to GameIndustry.biz, the Sony Interactive Entertainment Japan Asia president, Atsushi Morita, if I pronounce that correctly, also retired yesterday. Oh yeah, additionally, apparently the Japanese tweet for this, the vernacular that they use alluded to more instead of him leaving, it sounded more like he was retiring. Okay. So maybe that's the thing. Maybe they just didn't want to make a big deal out of it. But I don't think Sean Layden's an older gentleman. Like, he never came across as this. So, like, I don't know. Maybe he's retiring from Sony. I don't know if he'll get picked up to do something else or if he'll consult or do something on the side. But, it's kind of sad because I liked him. I liked his delivery when he came out on stage and talked about you know, PlayStation stuff, and I thought he was a fairly decent representative for the business when he did have to come out and present.
Well, I mean, if he's been with the company since 1987, that's 32 years.
Yeah, it's a little long, eh? And I bet you he made bank.
Yeah, and I'm sure maybe he'd something happened and he's like, fuck this, I gotta retire, like personal stories or whatever, mm-hmm. or who knows. But mm-hmm. like, theoretically speaking, if he's been with that company for like 32 years, he's probably close to any kind of retirement age.
Yeah, maybe he is, and or maybe he's just done.
He asked not to have the whole Reggie thing.
Maybe. I'm just age. I'm looking to see if we know how old. He's 58 years old.
I mean,
about 58 years old, it says.
Yeah.
June 1961.
I mean, my mom retired at 54-ish, and my dad mm-hmm. retired at 55. Mind you, that was like the 90s and early 2000, but like,
yeah,
you know, 58, it's... Maybe he just wants to sleep for a bit.
Yeah. But at the same time, maybe he's ready to try something else. I mean, it's got to be intense to, you know, be at the head of a company like Sony Interactive Entertainment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it is a bit concerning because it's out of character, or they're breaking a pattern with how they usually announce shit at PlayStation. Mm-hmm. But who knows? It could be bad. Like, it could be like a mutual agreement that he wasn't doing the job he needed to do anymore, or maybe he's just like, I'm gonna go out, but I don't want this to be a big deal. So we don't know.
Yeah,
could be good, could be just him being like, fuck it, low key, I just want to go home and sleep for like 10 years.
Yeah, totally. Well, if it is his retirement, we wish him a happy retirement, and if it's something more nefarious, then I want to know the juicy details. I probably will never know the juicy details, but hey.
Let's call Sean and ask him what's tea.
Hey, Sean, what's the tea? Tell us all the shade.
Yeah.
Shane Dawson, get on this.
Oh, my God. Did you watch the new Shane Dawson yesterday?
Yes. So we're recording this Wednesday. So by the time this episode comes out, the new episode will be dropping or have dropped.
And you think? Did they announce when the next one was coming?
Fridays.
Thank goodness.
Yes, so I am into it.
Yes, like, it was such a
I'm
good
not
episode.
Big on drama normally, but the YouTube beauty community drama, for some reason, I drink that shit up.
There's something about Shane and his delivery and his editing style, like how he puts these documentaries together, and he's just not, it's not always like in time sequence, like kind of how he jumps back and forth. Their editing is on point.
Yeah, it's really good. I find he's manufacturing a bit of drama too much, but I guess he's building up hype for the next episodes, trying to be like, is this gonna go down like we think it's gonna go down?
I kind of have a feeling that it's gonna like turn like different, like it's not gonna be as like, it's gonna be drama filled and everything, but in the end it'll kind of all work out, it'll be hunky-dory.
I mean, they seem to still be really friends for real, so no, I'm enjoying it, and I'm excited not just because of the tea and the drama, but because I'm really interested if they're really going to go into everything that goes into creating a palette and this product. And
yeah, the makeup industry is so, like, if people think like the video game industry is cagey and used to be pretty cagey about how the sausage was made, the makeup industry is even more intense because there's like secrets when it comes to, you know, like obviously with video games they have proprietary secrets and that kind of stuff, but in the makeup industry it's like formulas and sources and all that kind of stuff, and then the markup on the products, because a lot of time what you're paying for with makeup is the brand, right? Yeah. And you know, you're also paying for the science and all that kind of stuff, the R&D, that kind of thing, but like it's a significant markup because a lipstick doesn't cost $20 to make, honestly. No. And even if you go with the theory, because obviously I used to work in shoes and all that kind of stuff, and you'd be like, well, the wholesale must be like half of that because, you know, they do markup for each step in the process. You know, it's even then, yeah, $10. It doesn't cost $10 to make the lipstick either, right? So,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting. I don't know how many secrets they're actually going to tell. And then I just enjoy Shane as a character. His fiance is a character, Jeffree Star is a character.
Their dogs. General. I really enjoy their dogs.
Their dogs are cute. Yeah, that's true.
He's got a husky and a lab. Those are my dream dogs.
Oh my god, the part where they were like driving around in the golf court. He was like, your paws! Don't run over your paws!
Yeah, I used to watch Shane back in the day and he got too cringy for me, but I'm enjoying deeply his renaissance.
Yes. I do watch his stuff. I go back and look at the old conspiracy theory stuff. Like, I'll put it on, like, Sam cleaning the house. It's great background noise.
Oh, I'm talking, I used to watch him when he did Shinene.
Oh, no. Okay, no. I can't handle that.
When him and his, like, friends from back then would just go around in a mall and do things, shitty things. Like, I mean, we're about 2-3 years older than him.
Yeah.
So when I started watching him, I was about in the age range that I found it funny, but I outgrew that shit quite very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I rediscovered him in the past 2 years when he changes formats and these types of videos and he got dogs.
Yeah. It's all about that format change. It's crazy to see how that evolves. It's crazy to see how other YouTubers evolve too. Following that and how much other hour-long content. I was watching Adam22 his podcast, and Aaron Carter, you know, came in and seeing the live drama, watching like Aaron Carter's Instagram story while watching Adam22 No Jumper on YouTube at the same time, and seeing how it was all working out and knowing that this stuff is happening live. That's what I find fascinating, is like, anything could happen. I'm watching the news, you know. Especially because this stuff is so big and these artists, like, and these content creators are so large. They are the news now in a lot of cases. It's crazy.
They're being followed by TMZ just like Kanye is being followed by TMZ. It's crazy.
It's nuts. All right. Well, I think it's time to close out this show now that it's turned into YouTube Cast.
Yeah.
Which you and I could probably do at some point.
And now everybody knows that we love the tea on YouTube.
Oh my god, do we ever. I love watching other people's drama. I don't want my own. With that being said, we're gonna wrap up this episode. I want to thank you for listening to this show. Don't forget, if you ever want to know anything about any of the articles that we talk about in the GOG cast, Catherine does this wicked roundup on each episode on the website, and it includes all the different links of all the stories that we cover. So you can go in and deep dive and get all the details. We do highly recommend it because obviously, you know, like, we are commenting on the news and the stories and our takes on it, and we want you to give them the hit. So go back and read the full thing, give them that that viewing, that UV, as we say in the web world, you know, unique visitors. Go hit them up. Also, if you enjoy the show, we highly encourage you, if you have the moment, to go and review and rate the podcast on the platform that you're watching it on. Much appreciated if you do. That actually really helps us, because then it boosts us up in the search, kind of like comments do on YouTube and things like that. If you drop a kind of a review, like, it's highly prioritized by like Apple and Google and things like that. I want, of course, thank Catherine for being on the show and holding down the fort with me this week. Thank you, Kat. Shout out your social media so people can track you down and maybe talk more about Devil May Cry and Link's Awakening with you.
Yes, I am. Sorry, allergies. Still a thing in October. I am CSDESBINS, CSDBIN on Twitter and Instagram. I want more Goose Game memes. Goose Game memes. Goose Game memes.
You better give that to her, guys. Better happen. I can't have another person not show up to the podcast. Then you'll just be hearing my voice the whole time. So please, send her the Goose Game memes, okay? And I'll probably want them too now once I go and download this game.
And I just want to point out that Bowie has been asleep in the back. I see him. And he has no fucks to give about this podcast.
Oh no, he has zero fucks to give. He's more pissed off that I'm not, like, giving him attention after being gone all day. I am Leah Jewer on most social media platforms. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. And we're available at many different places, including Twitter, The Girls on Games on Twitter, The Girls on Games on Facebook, on Instagram, or just Girls on Games, no the in there. Because, you know, we could handle that. We can actually get that handle. Don't you hate that? When you can't get the handle everywhere the same way?
Yeah.
So annoying. If you would like to continue this lovely conversation and more, you can do so at our Discord channel, discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, if you ever need to know anything at all, you can go and track that down at our website. That's our home base, girlsongames.ca. Thank you, Kat. Allie, we miss you. Simon, thank you for editing this thing. I hope we didn't make too many boo-boos and made it hard on you. And we will talk to y'all next week. Off to play more Persona 5. See you later.